You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Ready to go
on the Fan,
New York Sports Radio.
Mike's on, Mike's on.
It's 50 years, believe it or not. I know that sounds crazy for those of us who remember it, but it was 50 years since the Mets shocked the world with their tremendous performance, a brilliant performance in 69, where they not only took over the city, and they took over the city in a big way. Mets go behind 4-3. Russell, it's a two-run homer off August. But they not only took over the city, because as I told you, Mantle retired, the Yankees didn't have the drawing card, they weren't that good, and now here come the Mets, but they took over the baseball world. They were so big, it was unbelievable. The Mets are going to honor the 69 team on the 29th of June. The game is a 4 p.m. game against the Braves. Fans are encouraged to be in their seats by 3 o'clock. I don't know, I'll ask the Mets how many seats are still available for that game that day. We'll ask them to pass that information along. But it's a week from this weekend, a week from this Saturday, against the Braves, 4 o'clock, and they say be in your seats by 3 for the celebration. One of the guys who was such a big part of that and was, I think, even underrated. I mean, he was a great pitcher, but he was actually underrated because Seaver got a lot of credit, but this guy was clutch and was a great big-game pitcher and pitched the biggest game of the season for them without any question, and that's Jerry Kuzman. Jerry, Mike Francesa on WFAN in New York. Welcome. How are you?
Well, thank you, Mike. Good to be with you.
My pleasure, Jerry. Does it feel like it's 50 years?
Oh, geez. In a way, yes, and in many ways, no. It seems like still, you know, last year.
Are you looking forward to the celebration?
I am. I'm looking forward to seeing some of the guys that I haven't seen for, 40 years or so.
Unbelievable. Well, you guys deserve it. As we said, you not only took over the city, you took over the baseball universe. I mean, it was as unlikely a win and as crazy a win. And what a great run, because I don't think people realize at the end of the season, you guys were playing great baseball. You won 100 games in the regular season. You went crazy down the stretch, beat Hank Aaron and the Braves, and then played the Orioles, obviously, in that great, great World Series against a great Oriole team. But let me ask you, Jerry, you had never won before. You had a big year with Seaver the year before. Coming into 69, what were your expectations? Did you think you guys were ready to turn the corner?
No, not at the start of the season we weren't. Gil Hodges was the captain and the manager, and he had plans for us, and we were going to play the game his way. And so we just all fell in line and did our own jobs, which he asked us to do. Nothing more, just do your own job. Don't worry about anybody else. And as the season went along, we, you know, played probably 500 ball or so. And then, in the middle of season or so, we went on a 10-game win streak on a road trip to the West Coast. And when we got done with that, I think that what made us believers that we could beat the best clubs.
Well, your pitching just came together. Seaver, yourself, you won 17 games, had a great ERA, 2.28 folks ERA, 16 complete games, and always has been regarded as just a terrific big game pitcher, as you were in the World Series. But what I remember first about that was a lot of those crazy games with the Cubs, as you guys were chasing the Cubs, and the Cubs were clearly getting spooked, not just by the black cat, but getting spooked by you guys chasing him down in the dog days of August.
Yeah. Thank God to the black cat. But, yeah, we got our second win probably came there towards the end of August or first September when the cooler air started to come in a little bit and some of the humidity left. And, you know, the dog days of summer, the heat and humidity, that's why they call them the dog days of summer. But they're tough on pitchers, and they're tough on the whole ball club, especially the guys that have to play every day. So when you get that breath of cool air, it's kind of like getting your second wind.
Tell me what Rube Walker meant to you, Kuz, because you look at that staff with yourself, Seaver, Nolan Ryan, Gentry, great guys in the bullpen. I mean, and you had Gil Hodges, you had Rube Walker. How about those guys at the Brain Trust working with you young pitchers?
Rube was like our father. He was a punching bag. He was a guy that slapped you on the back, slapped you on the butt. He did whatever it was, but he was also your best friend. And you could go to him with, if you were bragging, you could go to him. If you were having your down days, you could go to him. And he was always there for you. He had been a catcher his whole career, he wasn't, very knowledgeable about the mechanics of pitching. But he knew everything else about pitchers. And he was, gosh, I don't know. I guess it was kind of left up to us own guys to kind of figure out our own, wherewithal. If we got the bad mechanics or whatever. I know Seaver and I, we had our own little signs that we're having troubles on the mound. I could look at a dugout and even, point to his shoulder or hip or something, and I knew what to correct. And I would do the same with him. You know, he'd look at that other point.
Interesting.
He'd correct it. And we had those kind of, we had that kind of communication. But Rube backed us up on everything and certainly instilled the winning attitude in us.
Obviously, you also had Ryan there, who was not a regular every day in the rotation and came out of the pen, had some great games. Were you surprised that Ryan went on to the career that he had? I mean, you knew he had great velocity, but did you think he would ever harness it the way he did?
No, I don't think any of us did. But I think it was a blessing for Nolan to get traded to American League because American League had a little bit higher strike zone. And Nolan was a fastball pitcher, and naturally, if you're a good fastball pitcher, you're going to throw more high fastballs. And so that extra 2 inches height you get in the American League strike zone helped him out a lot. Therefore, he didn't have as many walks. He was able to stay in the game longer, which helped him develop himself, his arm, and able to gradually develop his control, a lot like Colfax. When Colfax started out, he couldn't get the ball over the plate either, and he would walk the ballpark.
Absolutely.
But Nolan Ryan by going to the American League, he got the chance to stay in games longer, and he developed into one of the top pitchers that ever played.
We're talking with Jerry Kuzman, who will be, along with the 69 Mets, the Miracle Mets, will be here on the 29th. They will be at Citi Field. The festivities start at 3. The game will start at 4. Biggest game of the year. You're in the World Series. You beat the Braves and Hank Aaron in three straight. You in the World Series against the heavily favored Oriole team. You lose game one. You're on the mound game two. Everyone thought a must win, and you throw one of the great clutch games. Six inning no-hitter, 2 hits over 8 2/3, a brilliant 2-1 win. What do you remember about that day?
Well, I kind of screwed up. My goal was to pitch a perfect game and get 4 hits. In the 7th inning, I shook Jerry Grody off. He called for a fastball, and I shook him off to throw a curveball to Paul Blair, and he hit a ground ball base hit between 3rd and shortstop and stole 2nd on immediately the next pitch. So, whenever a pitcher loses a no-hitter kind of later in the game, you're thinking about that. And you're not wide enough awake, and they took advantage of that and stole 2nd base. Brooks, that flusters you also. or makes you mad. And then Brooks Robinson gets a ground ball base up the middle and scores him. So that was just kind of, I was getting la-la land there after giving up that base hit, after, you know, going on a no-hitter, like you say.
But you hung in there to 8 2/3, though, and got the job done.
Yeah, well, Gil, I got two out the ninth, and Gil left me in to face Boog Powell, the left-hand hitter.
Yep.
And I end up walking him. So, yep, I didn't do my job, so I deserved to come out. And he brought Ron Taylor in for the last out, which is a hard smash to glider at third. He made a great play and threw him out at first.
And then the clincher, game five, you come home, you have those big wins, and then you win the clincher going all the way in the clinching game on one of the great, great runs in baseball history, one of the remarkable seasons, which ends, obviously, with the fly ball off the bat of Davey Johnson. You go all the way in game five.
Well, there's no way you can lose that game. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I just couldn't let anybody down, including myself, to lose that game. So when Dave McNally was in a bunting situation, we're playing for the bunt. I throw him a high fastball, which I'm supposed to do. We're playing for pop the bunt up, and we do a trap play to get a double play. Well, he swung away, hit a home run, and the score's 2-0. And then Frank Robinson hits a home run. And I was so perturbed after that, I came to the dugout, and I says, boys, that's all they're going to get. Let's go catch them, you know, and beat them.
And that was 5-3.
I don't know if I gave up any hits after that, but I was on fire.
What do you remember about the celebration? What do you remember about the next couple of days after you win that World Series?
Well, one of the first things I did to come in the clubhouse, and Pearl Bailey was in there, and I gave her a big hug because she was in the bullpen when I was getting ready to warm up or waiting to warm up, and she said, "Coos, just settle down, relax. You're going to win this game. I see the number 8, but you're going to win." Well, we won 5-3, which is 8. And so when she came in the clubhouse, I went over and gave her a big hug.
How good is that? I think it was only with Jerry Kuzman, who was the big star of that series. Go ahead, Kuz. What else do you remember?
Well, but it was a great celebration. We had a good time. And, of course, the champagne was flowing and spraying all over. And eyes are burning like, you know, normal. And after things settled down and the press left, some of us sat down just to kind of converse, and we couldn't talk. We're so choked up by happiness and that we just kind of sat there and looked at each other for a while.
When did you realize that season, Kuz, that you guys were a good team? When did it dawn on, was it August? When did it dawn on you guys that you were really a legit team?
Whenever it was that we had that 10-game road trip and
gotcha.
We beat every, you know, we won 10 in a row. That's when we came home to Shea, and that's when I think all of us just kind of felt it in our bones, said, hey, my gosh, we can beat anybody. And so we kind of played so-so until, like I say, the end of August or first September, in that cool air, you felt that cool, little bit of cool air once in a while. And that just gave us a second wind, especially as our pitchers. And then there was no stopping us.
Wasn't it crazy? I mean, I don't know if fans realize how crazy it was. I happened to be there the night you clinched the division title against the Cardinals. Fans tore the stadium up. I mean, they tore that stadium up a couple of times. I mean, in those days, it was crazy. I mean, they don't let them on the field now, but in those days, it was wild, wasn't it? It was a wild scene.
Well, it was, and it was great to see because thank God for those fans. There's still some of that grass growing around New York, you know. But, it was great, and it was fun to see. We had the greatest fans in the world. And us guys, we not only enjoyed our time on the field playing ball, but it was fun conversing with the fans and watching them, too.
Well, Kuz went on to win a lot of games, folks. Won well over 200 games, won 20 games with Minnesota, too. Had a wonderful career. But I think I'd have to say that those two games in 69 on the mound in the World Series had to be the highlight, right?
Well, they certainly were. Winning the World Series is a highlight. And you know, we were an expansion team, only 8 years old,
yep,
or seven years old, something,
yep,
like that. And so to come on and just go from, what, 2 years earlier, they'd lost 100 games. And the year before, we would finish ninth. And so then to come on and win was really a shocker. And New York, and I mean, a lot of the world needed it because there were so many bad things going on in the world at that time. And so we needed some comfort and the highlights.
You know, it's nice that you'll be there, and a lot of the Mets will. Unfortunately, Tom Seaver won't be. You know, you're so connected with it being Seaver and Kuzman, and how instrumental you both were as the guys who were the foundation for that great championship. Kind of sad that he won't be there.
It really is. And, it's, you know, it's, they say these are the golden years. Well, for some of us, they're not so golden. We've lost a lot of guys, and that hurts. And so just a blessing to be able to see the guys that will be there.
Well, listen, appreciate a couple of minutes. Enjoy it when you come to town next week. It'll be fun, I'm sure, for you. So a week from tomorrow, big day out at Citi Field, so I'm sure you're looking forward to it. Thanks for a couple of minutes.
You're welcome. By the way, am I the starting pitcher that night? Have you seen the lineup?
I have not seen it yet, but I would think, yes, there's a very good chance you will be. So I'm sure, and you'll be ready to go, right? You got to go all the way, too.
No, you better cross my name off.
Thanks, Kuz, very much.
You bet.
All right. Jerry Kuzman, really an incredibly clutch pitcher. You know, and a lot of times people would say, I'd rather see Kuzman. And that's not to knock the great Seaver. We all know how great he was. And Seaver was an incredible pitcher. But a lot of people thought that Kuz was one of those guys who just had the knack in a big game. And the Mets never minded seeing Kuzman on the mound in a big game. He had a big game nature to him. He was calm in those games. He was competitive in those games. And that was the biggest game. After they, in game one, the Orioles, the unbeatable Orioles, beat the Mets 4-1 with Seaver on the mound. Don Buford had a home run to start the game. They get beat 4-1. Now they beat Seaver. So you're figuring, oh, the Mets are dead. I mean, this is going to game two. He goes and beats them. Goes with a no-hitter, okay? And he pitches one of the classic games. And you're talking about a lineup. The Orioles loaded. Brooks Robinson, Frank Robinson, Paul Blair, Boog Powell, Andy Etchebarren, down the line. Great, amazing hitting team, great team, and they beat this team. And Jerry Kuzman will be on display. And just a note, and this is why a lot of us treated yesterday as such a bizarre day. You just heard Jerry Kuzman coming in, talking about the golden years and everything else. The star of that, one of the stars of that 69 team. Jerry Kuzman is 6 years younger than the Met pitching coach. Back after this.